We're turning this morning in our Bibles to the book of Ezra and chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1, you'll find it a short way before the Psalms. Ezra chapter 1, reading the first 11 verses, reading the whole chapter. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, of king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all this people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of this place help him with silver and gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites and all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver and gold and goods and with beasts and precious things beside all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 29 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver, basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought from Babylon unto Jerusalem." Amen. God will bless the reading from his inspired and infallible word. It's just over a week ago that Mr. Donald Trump, the Republican candidate, was voted in to be the President of the United States of America. He defeated Hillary Clinton, the Democrats' candidate. This was a major upset to the Democrats, a major upset to the whole bias media and bias polls. This was followed by a few days in which liberal supporters wilted like little snowdrops, as Bob McEvoy said last week, wilted like little snowdrops, and needed to visit the crying room or the nice room where no one would say anything nasty to them, even though they themselves were not being very nice. They then, for the few days, reverted to riots, causing public disorder and kicking through shop windows and protesting as their sadness at not getting their own way turned to dictatorship, anger and violence. All because they didn't get their own way. It was such childish behaviour, no doubt you saw it on the news or on the internet, like a child after losing a game when they're small and immature, would huff and pout. If it was a child, you would have to tell them off for such immature behaviour, wouldn't they, if they didn't win? Now, I want to say a few words from the biblical perspective on the whole thing that happened in America. I want to say a few words to a number of people. I don't normally interrupt my series to preach on a theme or subject raised by current news, but this event is important enough to do so. And we were, God willing, we will all learn something from it. I have 3 points this morning, and they are these. Number one, what is Donald Trump? Number two, a word to Christians and moral people. And number three, a word to pouting fools. So let's start on the first point. Number one, what is Mr. Donald Trump? There is no mistaking what he is from the Bible. He is the rightful, legally, constitutionally elected president of the United States of America, the world superpower. And in God's sovereignty, he has been placed there by Jehovah God as God's ordained ruler. Let me repeat that. Biblically, there is no denying that Mr. Trump is the rightful, legally elected, constitutionally elected president of America, placed there by Jehovah God as his ordained ruler. What do I mean? Well, according to the Bible, God is sovereign. God is in control. And it is God who rules over the nations of this world. It says in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40, verse 15 and 23, and I'm just paraphrasing the verses, but it tells us there that God sits on the circle of the earth, he sits above the earth, and to God the nations of the earth are like a little drop of water in a bucket, and the inhabitants are like grasshoppers. And it says, and he bringeth princes to nothing and judges to vanity. What are princes? Rulers. It's the old-fashioned biblical way of saying rulers of nations. And what are judges but men of power? So it says then in Isaiah 40 that God brings rulers down and men of power if he so wants. So biblically speaking, there is no doubt that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have been brought down to nothing and vanity by God. It says in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21 about the Lord, quote, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. Who removes rulers? Do you believe the Bible? Who removes rulers? God. Who sets up rulers? God. God is sovereign. He is in control of the nations and the rulers of the nations of this world. Let me read to you a few verses from Romans 13 in the New Testament. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he, whoever is ruling in the world, nations of the world, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for also for conscience sake. For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom it is due, custom to whom custom is due, and fear to whom fear, and honour to whom honour. So what is Donald Trump? Well, biblically speaking, he is the rightful, legally, constitutionally elected president of the United States of America, placed there in God's sovereignty by God himself. He is, according to Romans 13, the minister, which simply means in the Greek word the servant, of God, for good to those that do good, and for wrath and punishment to those that do evil. Ah, subpoint B. Ah, but hang on a wee minute. You're saying that about Donald Trump. But you know, Donald Trump has said and done bad things. I know that. And he's a big boy and he doesn't need me to defend him. I know that. He said and done bad things, but let me ask you this. Which of us hasn't? If someone was to look at your life or my life and our words for the past 30 years and report all the different bad things that we've said on the news, how would we look? How would anybody look? Would we shine? No one would. I know I wouldn't shine. If all the things I said in the last 30 years were reported on the news. Oh, silly women drivers. Many times have I said that? They must have got their license in a 10p lucky bag. I have said that more than once in the heat of the moment. But when I calm down and I'm being rational, I know I don't mean that. Indeed, I've said to Rebecca, and even apologized and had to admit more times than once, that there are just as many bad men drivers as there are women. But sometimes we speak foolishly, don't we? And yet, even though I afterwards would have to say, yes, that's not true, women drivers are not really that bad, they're not any worse than men, yet if that was to be reported on the news, what would I be portrayed as? He's a sexist, male chauvinist, bias against women. That's how it'd be reported, isn't it? Oh yes, Donald Trump has done and said bad things, but which of us would shine if our words were reported on the news? None of us would, because we've all done and said foolish things. Well, just allow Donald Trump to be the same as us, because he's just an ordinary man. He's actually an ordinary man that wears his heart on his sleeve and doesn't deceive people, unlike some others who pretend they're something they're not. But he has said and done bad things. But I ask you, who hasn't? And yet, I still remember more than once hearing him repeating these words. I said it. I was wrong, and I apologize. Did you ever hear Hillary Clinton saying those words? I said that I was wrong and I apologize. I think her lips would go on fire if she said words like that. You see, he doesn't have to be perfect to be God's servant in ruling a nation. Because no one is perfect. And we are all sinners. And that's why Christ died for sinners. For repenting, confessing sinners who say, it was wrong and I am sorry. Let me show you from the Bible why Donald Trump doesn't have to be a perfect man to be God's servant. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 36 and verse 10, and chapter 37 of Isaiah, verses 21 to 29, there you'll read an account of a man called Sennacherib. Now, Sennacherib is the king of Assyria in around 800 BC. Assyria is the world's superpower nation. And Sennacherib came to Jerusalem after destroying everything before him with his army, and he besieges Jerusalem. And it says in Isaiah chapter 36 and verse 10, the Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. That's what Sennacherib said. Sennacherib had been told, the Bible says, by God to go and destroy Judah. Sennacherib was God's tool, God's servant, to destroy and punish the nation of Judah for their sins. Now, let me ask you a question. Was Sennacherib perfect? Not at all. Sennacherib was a brutal butcher. He said and done many evil things. And then, you know, this story goes, because of Sennacherib's pride and his boasting and telling King Hezekiah, your God can't save you, God then says to Isaiah, tell Hezekiah, I'm going to put a hook in Sennacherib's nose and lead him back the way he came to be assassinated by his sons. And that's exactly what's happened, what did happen. Sennacherib was God's ruler and God's tool. But was he perfect? No, because you don't have to be perfect to be God's ruler or God's tool. What about Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of Babylon, the world's superpower nation after Assyria. What did God say about Nebuchadnezzar? What did God say about him? Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem. He razed it to the ground. He destroyed the temple of God. He exiled the people to Babylon for 70 years. And yet, in the book of Daniel, in chapter 2, in verses 32 to 38, Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar that he is the ruler of the greatest kingdom placed there by God. Was Nebuchadnezzar perfect? Not at all. Nebuchadnezzar built a golden idol and caused all people of all nations to bow down and worship his own image. And if you didn't do it, you were to be put to death. He wasn't perfect. But he was still God's man. Yes, in his pride he raised his neck against the Lord, and God put him out the grass like a cow. And this is what it says in Daniel 4:34. At the end of the days, when he was out in the field like an animal, he lost his mind, you see, through his pride. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And he goes on, I'll not read it all down to verse 37, but Nebuchadnezzar freely confesses that all kings just rule by the consent of God. They're under God's authority, Jehovah. And they're all accountable to God. That's what Nebuchadnezzar admits. And what does God call Nebuchadnezzar? In Jeremiah chapter 25 and verses 8 and 9, our brother David quoted it last Wednesday night. Listen to this. Jeremiah 25 verse 8. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you've not heard my words, speaking to Judah, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, saith Jehovah, in capitals, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants of this land. My, Jehovah says of Nebuchadnezzar, he's my servant. So what was Sennacherib, king of Assyria, the world's superpower? God says, my minister, my servant. What was Nebuchadnezzar? He was my servant, says God. Were they perfect? No, they had both done and said bad things. Let me give a third example. What about King Cyrus of Persia? Persia was the world's superpower that followed Babylon. Cyrus is the king of the world's superpower, the ruler. That's why I read to you Ezra chapter 1, 1 to 11. God stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus to get Jerusalem's temple rebuilt and pay for it. In Isaiah 44, verse 48, God speaks of Cyrus, and God says, he is my shepherd, Cyrus, an unsaved man, like all the rest. He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying it to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Now that's a quote from Isaiah that was predicted about King Cyrus about 150 years before it happened, before he was even born. But who is Cyrus, king of Persia? The Bible says he's God's shepherd. He does what God wants, in other words, for the good of God's people. A shepherd. 100 years before Ezra. What does it say in Isaiah 45 of Cyrus, verses 1 to 4? Let me read it to you. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, whose right hand his strength I'm upholding, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him to the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder bars of iron. I will give to thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Now listen to this. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. What's Cyrus? God's anointed. The one whose power God upholds to subdue his enemies and destroy barriers. The one who God calls by his name for the sake of God's people. Verse 14, I have surnamed you, though you have not even known me. He wasn't a child of God. He didn't know the Lord. But he's still the Lord's anointed and the Lord's shepherd. Is that the point proved? God says of Cyrus, he's my shepherd. He's my anointed. He's called by God and named by God. There's four things. Even though he's not a child of God and doesn't know God. So it's no use saying anybody. Ah, Donald Trump, he's not perfect. He's said and done bad things. Which of us haven't? Look at the rulers of the world's superpowers in the Bible. Not one of them was perfect. They all said and did bad things. And yet God says of them, Sennacherib, you're my minister, you're my servant. Nebuchadnezzar, you're my servant. Cyrus, you're my shepherd and my anointed. All of these men were God's ordained rulers, God's tools to do his will. God is sovereign. He rules the nations. What is Donald Trump? He is the legally, rightfully, constitutionally elected president of the United States of America, placed there by Jehovah God to do his will. He's the minister stroke servant of God for good upon those that do good and punishment upon those that do evil. And it's pointless anybody saying, oh, but he's not perfect. He said bad things. He's not perfect. And neither are you. Because you've said and done bad things too. So what are you talking about? We've all said and done bad things. It's called sin. But at least he has the gumption to admit it when he's wrong, whereas many people don't. Sennacherib, Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, and many more were rulers of world superpowers, and every one of them, the Bible says, is God's servant.
And so is President Trump. Because God hasn't changed, and his word hasn't changed. He is God's servant for this hour. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this, says in Esther 4 and 14. Nobody has anything to moan about, you know, in the United States. Because Donald Trump's not as bad as Sennacherib or Nebuchadnezzar, and nowhere near it.
Now, second point, that's the first point, what is Donald Trump? Second point is this, a word to Christians and moral people. A word to Christians and moral people. What's the word to Christians and moral people? Please, start thinking for yourself. Start thinking clearly for yourself. And stop swallowing blindly the biased media on everything. Start thinking. That's what I would say to every moral person and Christian in this country and in the United States. Between Hillary Clinton, that's what it came down to in the end, and Donald Trump, start thinking. Look at their professed political policies. And you'll actually see that if you're a Christian or a moral person, you had no other choice but Donald Trump. None. You must support him if you're a Christian or a moral person. And if you don't, you're not a Christian, and you're certainly not moral. If you look at the political policies of both these people and compare them with biblical morals, it's a slam dunk. Donald Trump, you look at his policies, generally, and I'm speaking generally, he's moral, constitutional, he agrees with the Constitution of the United States, and he's just. He's for justice. Generally, Hillary Clinton is absolutely immoral, unjust, and against the Constitution of the United States. You can't argue with it. Christians and moral people, instead of swallowing the media, oh, Donald Trump hates women, he's a bigot, prove it. Where was the evidence? People just swallow it whole and it's, yeah, he is, I agree. Where's the evidence? Christian and moral people, look at the policies of these two people. The political policies were not hidden. It's not that you couldn't look at them for yourself, but so few people did. Because they thought, well, Hillary's a nice person. It was all personalities. What about what their person's going to do? Hillary Clinton's policies were absolutely immoral. And I'm using the word immoral in the general sense. I'm not just talking sexually. Immoral in the area of honesty. Immoral judicially. Immoral legally. And immoral constitutionally, in breach of the Constitution of the actual nation that she wanted to be president of. Totally dishonest. A moral person, that's what I'm saying, could not have voted for her. And if you did, you're either ignorant in your mind or you're not a moral person. Let me briefly give a few examples of the policies. Take the financial policies of both of these people. Now, you don't have to be a financial expert. Donald Trump has quite often said he wanted to get the USA working back on their feet and lower taxes for the working man and so on. What was Hillary Clinton's financial policy? She said she was going to continue the financial policy of Barack Obama. You want to continue along the same lines. Now, President Obama talked a lot about lowering America's debt and lessening the debt that they owe, but during his terms in office, he doubled the debt. You see, talk is not action. So I ask you, moral people and Christians, is it not foolish and immoral, bad stewardship, to continue a policy that over the last 8 years has doubled your debt? That's immoral. It's bad stewardship, as well as being foolish. So who moral could vote for that? Oh, let's get us twice. Let's go for another 8 years into debt. That's daft. You're not moral if you think that way. Let's take the abortion policy of both people. How could anyone have voted for Hillary Clinton? Baby murder. Now, Donald Trump's not perfect. He's not going to be able to ban abortion. He's not going to. He might lessen it. But Hillary Clinton, listen to what she says. I'm quoting her. About abortion, she says, quote, "It is a fundamental human right." Quote, "The pro-life movement is a dangerous trend." She talks about babies in the womb. And she says, quote, "They have no rights up until hours before birth." She was actually for abortion during the birth. Don't tell me you're moral if you agree with her. You're immoral if you agree with her. She said, and I'm quoting, she would increase federal funding for abortion. She says, quote, "Religious belief and bias have to be changed in this area and the law enforced," end of quote. She's going to clamp down on anyone objecting to abortion, like a dictator. And she was so against the pro-life movement and religious objections to abortion that she said about evangelical Christians, quote, "They are a dangerous bunch of unredeemables," end of quote. Hillary Clinton is absolutely immoral, brethren. And if you're a moral person or a Christian, you couldn't have voted for her. And if you did, you've just proved you're not a moral person, biblically. You'd no choice. You have to support Donald Trump. What about thirdly, in the area of the policy of the right to bear arms, guns? In America, you're allowed guns because the Constitution and the Second Amendment allows every American citizen to have a gun to defend themselves. The right to gun ownership for American citizens. Hillary Clinton strongly disagrees. She strongly disagrees with that. Trump agrees that Americans should be allowed to have their guns for self-defense. Hillary Clinton, wanting to be voted in as president, is actually against the constitution of the country that she wants to be president of. It's illegal. Listen to what some of the founding fathers of America said. Here's the first president, George Washington. "A free people ought not only to be armed, but disciplined." Listen to Mr. Thomas Jefferson. I think he was the third president of America. America's founded upon this. This is why it's in their constitution. You can't have a president that disagrees with your constitution. You're foolish. Listen to Thomas Jefferson. "No free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. What country can preserve its liberties If their rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve the spirit of resistance, let them take up arms. That comes from the argument, if you're not armed, you're subjects. But if you're armed, you're citizens. I agree with that fully. All dictators, before they want to become absolute dictators, disarm their people. Thomas Jefferson says, "The laws that forbid the carrying of arms are laws of such a nature that they disarm only those who are not inclined or determined to commit crimes." Isn't that right? They disarm the law-abiding who are not going to commit crimes because they obey the law. And that's the only people that would obey the law if they're disarmed. "Such laws make things worse for those that get assaulted and better for the assailants," those that assault them. "They serve rather to encourage than prevent homicides, for an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man." That was Thomas Jefferson in 1774 to 1776. Anyway, Hillary Clinton in that area, brethren, whether you like it or not, Hillary Clinton in that area was against your own constitution in America. And her vows to become president to uphold the constitution would have been a lie. And a lie is sin. It's immoral to vow before God and not mean it. Hillary Clinton was an unconstitutional liar who shouldn't even be a citizen of the country. Never named the president. She'd be thrown out. Well, Christian or moral person, would you vote for that? And a moral liar who vows lying vows to God? I would like to ask some people, where's your brain? Do you ever use it? What about the policy on illegal immigrants? How could anyone have voted for that woman? Hillary Clinton, again, in that policy, was totally immoral and unjust. She was going to make all the illegal immigrants citizens. Is that not wrong? That is immoral. What a slap in the face for the thousands and tens of thousands of people who every year pay $150 to legally apply for immigration and citizenship in America. And they wait legally. But Hillary Clinton, she wants to reward the illegal, the lawbreakers. That is nothing but immoral. And it encourages more lawbreaking. She said she wanted, quote, open trade and no borders. That may sound pansy-ishly nice, but let me tell you, it's absolutely crazy. No borders? How do you have any defence then? Mad. She's a mad hatter. I could go on and list more and more policies. Every one, she's a nut job. Hillary Clinton in the area of public schools. She agrees with public schools and public schools only, quote, not private schools, nor parochial schools. So not church schools, not private schools, not... Oh, it has to be state. So she would have been a dictator. She was going to be taking away people's rights in the area of education. How could any moral person vote for that? The area of taxes, she was going to have higher taxes. Donald Trump would always say he wants lower taxes. The policy of... stricter punishment reduces crime. That was the statement. Stricter punishment reduces crime. Hillary Clinton strongly disagrees with that. She wants to lessen punishment for criminals. How could you vote for that if you're a moral person? Donald Trump strongly agrees that stronger punishment reduces crime. justice for the criminal not to be let off. What about women in minority groups? Hillary Clinton said that if you're an employer, if she became president, you would legally have to employ women from minority groups. End of quote. Dictatorship. You see it? Dictatorship. Telling you who you must employ. Surely, you should be able to employ the person that is best suited to do the job. Not because they're a woman, or not because they're in a minority group, or not because of the colour of their skin. But she was a dictator. And the policy on Russia. What about that? Russia for the last 8 months, because of the intrusive NATO exercises miles from its main naval base in the Baltic Sea, President Putin has been saying that the Americans are provoking a world war. That was on the news. I watched it on the news on the internet. It was actually on our news recently, which was the first time our news actually had news instead of gossip. Well, what was Donald Trump's policy on Russia? He wants to have closer ties with Russia and avoid this war. Hillary Clinton was very clear that she was just for the opposite. Immoral and foolish. That's the second point, a word to the Christian and moral person. You had no choice, it had to be Donald Trump. Look at the policies. Financial, Hillary was stupid. Abortion, she was immoral. Guns, she was an unconstitutional liar. Illegal immigrants, she was unjust and foolish. Schools, she was a dictator. Taxes, she was going to punish the people with higher taxes. Crimes, she's going to lessen the punishment for crimes, immoral. Minority women groups, a dictator, and Russia, her policy in Russia was idiotic. Hillary Clinton was an immoral, unjust, illegal, unconstitutionally wrong. That's all there is to it. The Americans had no choice. Donald Trump is by far the best out of the choices that they had. But maybe Trump won't do all those things. Well, do you think you could if you were? Would you do it perfectly? How is he ever going to be able to do all those things? Is it surely not better to vote for a person that says they're going to try and do good? Than to vote for a person that actually professes and says they're going to do evil? What does it matter if he's able to do them all or not? You're not to trust in men anyway. Of course he can't do them all perfectly. And thirdly and lastly, a word to fools. A word to pouting fools, I should say. I want to say a word generally about those that were protesting and rioting for the next few days after Donald Trump was voted in. I want to ask you a question. What were you protesting against? You know what you were protesting against? Democracy. He is the legally, constitutionally elected president of the United States of America. And you object and want to turn to violence?
You were actually protesting against your own constitution. You were protesting against democracy, and that makes you a dictator, you liberal protesters. Protesting against your own constitution, wanting to force your will against the democratic vote, makes you protesters dictators, willing to turn to violence and destruction of property because you don't get your way, makes you criminals. The protesters, my word to you is, you're nothing but anarchists and lovers of chaos. And you're very immature as well. Bunch of moronic idiots. That's who the protesters are in America. A bunch of morons who are against the founding principles of the United States of America, democracy. Secondly, under this point, a word to pouting fools is a word to the illegal immigrants. They were on the news and there was their photograph with their wee American flag with their Mexican face, or it could have been any colour of face, I couldn't care less. We're not going anywhere, Mr. Trump. That's what it said in the headline. A woman, foreign, illegal immigrant. We're not going anywhere, Mr. Trump. Undocumented immigrants was the headline. Undocuments, just another word for illegal. You're a lawbreaker. Illegal. And I would say to the illegal immigrants, not only are you so hard-hearted and lack conviction of any kind of wrongdoing that you break the law of a country, but then you're proud of it after, you're not even sorry, and you go on the news and boast about it. You're so immoral, it's unbelievable. And do you have any idea, illegal immigrants, how that makes all the legal immigrant people who want to apply and pay dollars, how do they feel about the likes of you and your arrogant pride? The illegal immigrants to ordinary people are nothing but offensive, they are repulsive, and they deserve all the punishment they get. Because they make the law-abiding useless and of no use. And they're proud of their law-breaking. Immoral. A word to Hillary Clinton and her baboon of a husband. He was on YouTube laughing about Mrs. Trump and saying, well, I never felt sorry. He looks like a clown. And he was making fun of that lady because she was speaking in English in a foreign accent, laughing and making fun of her. Even though he's guilty of 4 rapes and was impeached for sexual misconduct. And the 4 rapes, it's well known, you can look it up on YouTube, and the women, actually the 4 women that were raped were on stage with Donald Trump, and it was all hushed up by court solicitors or barristers, whatever they call it, and by Hillary Clinton, the wife. Oh, Mr. Clinton, all hushed up. What right has that man, Mr. Clinton, to laugh at anybody when he was thrown out because of his depravity? And then lastly, a word to fools and pouters. There's a man called Van Jones. He's a black man. He was on the news as soon as the election was over, and he was all, oh, I don't know how I'm going to tell my children in the morning that Donald Trump has won. He's a political activist and an attorney in America who stands up against race and all this type of thing. And he sticks up for minority groups and people that are offended because of their skin colour and so on. And he was saying, oh, this election result is what you call a white lash. A white lash. Instead of a whiplash. A white lash. It's just the white people whipping back because Obama was black and wanting a white person. That's what he said. And I would say to Van Jones, you know who's the racist? You're nothing but the bigoted racist, bringing your skin colour into everything, and with your wee chip on your shoulder, and accusing other people of racism when it was nothing to do with skin colour, but everything to do with the immoral policies of the so-called woman would-be president. Van Jones is the bigoted racist and a liar. And how are you going to tell your children in the morning? You'll get up and tell them in the morning, Donald Trump is the president. But you should also think, you liberal racist Van Jones, you should also think of the moral people of the United States of America who at different mornings have to wake up and tell their children at the breakfast table that two men can now get married and babies can get murdered and gays can adopt wee small children. There's something to really worry about for parents having to tell their children. But you can't even tell your children that Donald Trump has been legally and constitutionally elected as a president because you're a wicked bigot and a racist yourself. That's what I'd say to you. Now it's time to finish. I've given you 3 points. Number one, what is Donald Trump? He is the rightful, legally, constitutionally elected president of the United States of America, and he's been placed there by Jehovah God to do God's will. He is the minister or servant of God for good to them that do good and for punishment to them that do evil. That's what he is. And I know Donald Trump will probably never hear anything that I've said today, but if he does, I would say this to him, Mr. President, I personally believe that you are come to the presidency for such a time as this. The second point in my sermon was a word to Christians and moral people. Think for yourself. Look at the policies. And please don't swallow the media. The media is so biased. It's unbelievable. It's just brainwashing. Mr. Trump was the only moral choice. And thirdly, a word to pouting fools, to the protesters. You're nothing but an offence against the United States Constitution. To the illegal immigrants, you're also an offence, and you're a slap in the face to everyone who's law-abiding. Hillary Clinton and her husband, well, I've said enough about them. They're not even worth anything. They're vicious, evil people. And Van Jones, he's the one that's racist and bigoted. And I would say to them all, grow up and stop being dictators. Don't point at President Trump and say, he's done and said bad things. Look at yourself. You've done and said bad things. The Bible calls it sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why Jesus came and died for sinners. Who repent, turn from their sin, admit, confess they have sinned, and trust in Jesus. The gospel brings true liberty and freedom. And for any American citizens, and there are a lot of people in America that listen to these sermons every month, I would say this to you. Your Declaration of Independence says this. We hold that these truths are self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these rights are life, liberty,
and the pursuit of happiness. It goes on to say, for the upholding of these rights, that's the reason why governments are formed among men. You have rights. You have great liberty and rights in the United States of America, far more than we have in the United Kingdom. And those rights have been paid for by your forefathers. Those liberties have been paid for. Reminds me of a letter, I'm going to read it, that is on the film Private Ryan, written to Mrs. Bigsby of Boston. Listen to what it says. It's powerful. Dear Madam, I have been shown in the war files of the department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of 5 sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless must be any words of mine which should attempt to beguile you from the grief of and loss that is so overwhelming. But I cannot refrain from tendering to you the consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic that they died to save. I pray that your Heavenly Father will assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the loving memory of the loved and lost, and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, Abraham Lincoln. A costly sacrifice on the altar of freedom. The Americans have great liberties and freedoms, but your forefathers paid the price for those liberties and freedoms in their blood. They laid a costly sacrifice on the altar of freedom. I would urge you, Americans, don't give up your liberties. Don't give up your freedoms. Hold on to them with both hands. Trust in God and honor your president. God bless America and God bless Donald Trump, because it is God who blesses anyone who is blessed. Okay, amen. Thanks for your attention this morning.